Digestion doesn't just start in your stomach. It actually starts before you even swallow. In fact, it starts before you even take a bite. Today, I'm going to take you guys on a ride from chew to final exit, and I'll even tell you which foods keep each stop along the way in tip-top shape. Upgraders, welcome back to The Upgrade Effect. I realize that it has been over a month since I've recorded an episode. This summer vacation has been one of the busiest in a long time. Between planning my shower and all the weekends away, it's been tough to find the time to really work on my podcast, and I wish that I didn't go this long without recording. So I apologize, but I am back on the mic and I have so much cool stuff to continue on. We are currently in season two, back to biology class. We started episode one on cells, and then we zoomed in a little bit into DNA, which is contained inside the nucleus of every cell. So check out those two episodes if you haven't. But today we are going to cover very basically what digestion is from start to finish. I actually did do a short episode on this in my previous season, but because of the fact that I'm structuring season two in such a way where I want it to be almost like a course that I can refer anyone to at any time to learn all the basics that you need to know about human biology and how your body works. If you understand the way your cells work, the way DNA works, the way digestion actually works from the inside out, you can truly master what it means to be truly healthy and in turn stop falling for all these health fads out there. Powders, pills, potions, I always say, you simply do not need those things. Those things can be helpers indeed if you're someone who travels, if you're someone that, you know, is really, really busy and can't always find the time to cook nutritious foods. Yes, there is a purpose for supplements and powders and those things, but at the end of the day, you don't need them. And that's what I will always preach. So if you really want to understand what it means to be truly healthy, you do need to have a very basic understanding of human biology, and that's where I come in. So make sure you're paying attention to the season, guys, because it's just going to keep getting more interesting. So now we are in episode three. Today we're covering digestion, and this isn't just stomach talk. We're hitting every step from the mouth, the esophagus, the stomach, the intestines, and yes, the final exit. Along the way, you'll learn what enzymes are, how your gut turns food into you, and the nutrition tips that keep each organ running smoothly. That's right, you heard me, guys. Everything you eat becomes one with your cells. It amalgamates into your cells. So if you continue to eat toxic crap, you can probably see why this would ultimately lead to sickness and, in severe cases, death. What you eat is the most important thing that you can do for your health, as it is your fuel. Your car will not run if you put bad fuel into your gas tank. You will not run efficiently if you do not put good fuel into your gas tank. Okay? So let's start with the beginning. Your mouth and your saliva. Guess what, guys? Your spit is smarter than you think. Digestion begins the moment that you smell food. And we all can relate to this. How many times have you smelt your mom's cooking or your partner's cooking? Or you saw a commercial and you just felt your spit salivating? That is called the cephalic phase of digestion. Okay? That saliva actually isn't just spit. It contains what is called amylase, which is an enzyme. And if, as noted in previous episodes, an enzyme is essentially a little construction worker for your body that breaks your food down into smaller pieces that helps to optimize your digestion and make it run as smooth as possible. Digestion is one of the main processes going on in our body at all times because we need food to stay alive. So our body's constantly having to digest food. So it is so used to it. It is such a part of our human nature. This is why even just the smell of food can get things starting to ramp up. So as I said, think of enzymes as tiny workers with specific jobs. So there's enzymes that break down starch, there are enzymes that break down fats, and there are enzymes that break down protein. All three different types of enzymes to break down each different type of macronutrient that we eat. Okay, so what's amylase's job? Snipping along chains of carbs into smaller sugar pieces. Imagine spaghetti noodles being cut into tiny little macaroni pieces. And while the chemistry starts, your teeth are busy with mechanical digestion. So this is grinding food down so enzymes have more surface area to work with. Think of it like breaking a Lego castle into smaller blocks before building something new. Okay, so there's chemical digestion, which is the use of enzymes and stomach acids to break down, think scientist chemical in a lab. And then there's mechanical digestion, which just breaks food down into simple pieces, just using your teeth, etc. Okay, so the nutrition that is going to help support your mouth and your saliva is going to be drinking lots of water. So saliva is obviously 98% water. Dehydration would mean sluggish digestion overall. Vitamin C foods like oranges, bell peppers, kiwi all strengthen your gums. And crunchy fruits and vegetables like apples, carrots, and celery actually scrub your teeth and boost your saliva flow. So just thinking about food can boost saliva production tenfold, according to the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research. So this is another reason why chewing your food is incredibly important, because if you just have, let's say, a strawberry, the more you chew that strawberry, you're going to smush it and flatten it more, which gives more surface area for the digestive enzymes to work. Okay, think of it like a swimming pool. The larger your swimming pool, the more people can come and swim in your pool. The larger you increase the surface area by chewing your food, the more digestive juices can work on that food and make it easier on digestion. And anything that frees up digestive energy is a good thing. You always want to optimize your digestion. Because your body always has to work to digest food, we want to make it as easy as possible on our body to digest that food. So the easier you make it on your body, the more digestive energy that frees up. And then ultimately your body can start working on making your hair nice or your skin nice or your nails nice. But it can't work on that before trying to keep you alive first by digesting your food. Once your body has it easy in digesting your food, because you're doing everything that is required to make it easy on your body, the more your body can focus on the other things. But number one, your body's so intelligent, the number one thing it's going to always try to do is to keep you alive. Then it can work on other things. So after you chew your food and you swallow it, it starts to travel down the first part of your GI tract, which is your esophagus, the tube that connects your mouth to your stomach. So you are basically a human water slide, and your food is the VIP guest. Once swallowed, food doesn't just fall down like a marble. The esophagus pushes in and out wave-like muscle contractions called peristalsis that squeezes the food down, down, down. So at the very bottom of your esophagus rests your lower esophageal sphincter. So this is basically the bouncer at the club stomach. What's in your stomach? Stomach acid. We need the stomach acid there. It helps break down other things, which we will get into. But what happens if that stomach rises up and gets into your esophagus? Well, that's what the esophageal sphincter does. It pushes it back down and says, nope, you need to stay in the stomach. So it lets food into the stomach, but it blocks acid from splashing back up. When the bouncer slacks, hello, heartburn. So when you have heartburn, oftentimes it is because you had some stomach acid that crept up by accident. So some nutrition tips to keep your esophageal sphincter in the best shape is to eat smaller meals that reduce reflux. Okay, so you don't want to overeat. Limit heavy late night snacking, which we can all be guilty of doing sometimes, including myself, and greasy fried foods will affect your esophageal sphincter. So just avoid it. And then high fiber foods will always keep things moving smoothly, and we'll get a little bit more into fiber shortly. Okay, so after the esophagus, you have your stomach. Your stomach is a bubbling hot tub, but one that's lined with armor. Inside your stomach, there's two main jobs going on. There's the mechanical churning of the food, so it's sloshing the food around like a washing machine. And then there's the chemical breakdown. So the hydrochloric acid is the acid in your stomach, and there's something else in your stomach, and it's called pepsin. So pepsin is another type of enzyme or construction worker. And they team up basically to turn proteins into smaller pieces. Protein is one of the heaviest types of foods in terms of its density. Okay, it's a lot more dense than starches, and it's a lot more dense than fruits and vegetables. So for this reason, it requires a more acidic atmosphere to break down those foods. So the hydrochloric acid will be like, yo, what up, to pepsin, the little digestive enzyme for protein, and it will say, we need to break down this food together. And that's what they'll do. So this acid, the acid in your stomach, guys, is actually strong enough to dissolve metal. It is so strong. And your stomach, well, how does it survive then? If it isn't it going to just like disintegrate my own stomach? Well, As I've always noted, your body is extremely intelligent, and your stomach survives because it's lined with what's called mucus, and that regenerates every 3 to 4 days. So some really important nutrition tips to support your stomach: you want to eat a lot of protein, beans, eggs, chicken, and that signals acid and enzyme release. And then you want to eat a lot of zinc. So you can get zinc from oysters, beef, pumpkin seeds, pretty much any red meat. And that all helps your stomach acid production. Ginger and peppermint calm nausea. If you experience nausea a lot, I can assure you that regular consumption of ginger and peppermint, maybe in the form of a tea or however you want to consume that, will help calm your nausea down big time. Okay, and then probiotic rich foods like yogurt, like Greek yogurt specifically, kimchi, kefir, all these kinds of fermented foods help support the balance of your stomach and reduce your bloating. So those are some nutrition tips for stomach. Okay, a study highlight that I wanted to note is that stress actually slows stomach emptying, according to the Journal of Physiology in a 2017 study, which is why your anxiety sometimes makes you feel too full. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced not eating because you're anxious about something, but this is because of stress. Anxiety is a form of stress. And essentially, this is why it's very good to put your phone away when you're eating, to just get in a relaxed state before you eat, because this all affects your digestion. If you're all stressed out before you eat, there's a very good chance that that particular meal didn't get digested as optimally as it otherwise would have if you approached your meal in a calm state. I'm a big believer of no phones at the table. I will never allow my child to have a phone or anything at the table that distracts her from just the family and the food. Not that she has a phone, but as she gets older, I will be very, very avid on keeping that away from the dinner table. My dad was the same way. There was like a no phone at table rule. Mind you, when I was in high school, cell phones weren't as prevalent as they are now. As I see students in grade 4 have cell phones now. As a teacher, I see that. But yeah, no phone at table. Just relax, eat, and just try to be as relaxed as possible. All right, after your stomach, we enter the small intestine. It's not small though, guys. It's 22 feet long. It's called small because it's slimmer than the large intestine, but it's way longer than the large intestine. So this is actually the chemistry lab where your food officially becomes you. So until you hit the small intestine, everything's just been breaking down chemically and mechanically. You get to the small intestine, and that's when the nutrients from the food that you eat are becoming absorbed into your bloodstream and therefore into your cells. So the small intestine has three sections: the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. This is nutrient central. Here, what is called bile that comes from your liver and your gallbladder arrives just like dish soap, and it breaks down fats into tiny little droplets. Your pancreas jumps in with enzymes. So the bile arrives, and then the three enzymes arrive: lipase, that breaks down fats into fatty acids and glycerol, protease, which is an enzyme that breaks down proteins into amino acids, and then amylase, that breaks down carbs into simple sugars. So there's various different types of enzymes that break down starches, that break down proteins, that break down fats. Some of them are released in your stomach, some of them are released in your saliva, and some of them are not yet released until you get to your small intestine, which are these three: lipase, protease, amylase, all released in your small intestine. So some nutrition facts to keep your small intestine in ship shape: healthy fats like avocado, olive oil, and nuts stimulate bile flow. Fermented foods are just so good overall. My favorite fermented food is kombucha. It's super cheap to make, and at first it takes about 30 days to get a batch. But my gosh, once you get that batch, you have it forever and you just got to keep on it. You can even make it fizzy. Love kombucha. And then Greek yogurt's really good. And I love snacking on organic sauerkraut. Costco's got a really great one. So this is super good for your small intestine. And then there's soluble fiber like oats, beans, apples. That all slows your absorption and keeps your energy nice and steady. Okay? The fifth stage in digestion is the absorption stage. And now your intestines are basically a shag carpet. If you think of a carpet that has shaggies on it, your small intestine is covered in what is called villi and microvilli. So they're tiny, like finger-like projections that are around the surface of your whole small intestine. So just picture a shaggy carpet versus smooth tile. There's way more surface area to catch nutrients on your small intestine. So sugars and amino acids from your small intestine go into your bloodstream. So to keep your villi and microvilli that are on the surface of your small intestine in ship shape, you're going to want to eat a rainbow of produce. So all colors, different colors mean different nutrients, green peppers, yellow peppers, red apples, purple cabbage. If you're eating a rainbow variety of foods, you are really, really feeding your villi and microvilli very, very well. And then omega-3s, like salmon and chia seeds, keep your intestinal lining flexible and healthy. Your small intestine has a surface area the size of a tennis court, just so you guys know. So with all of its folds, the villi and the microvilli, your small intestine has a surface area the size of a tennis court. So like I said, it's not very small. So from your small intestine, sugars and amino acids enter your bloodstream, and then fats travel through your lymphatic system. Okay, after your small intestine, you will reach the large intestine. Okay, this is where your body says, all right, let's wrap it up. By now, most nutrients are gone. The colon reclaims water and electrolytes, gut bacteria feasts on leftover fiber, and it produces vitamins like vitamin K and B vitamins. This is why fiber is so healthy. Fiber is not a nutrient as proteins, fats, and carbs are. It is actually a tool that your body uses to create vitamin K and B vitamins, and it has everything to do with your gut health. Your gut will feast on the fiber and be in the best shape of its life if you're eating a lot of it. So high fiber foods are beans, berries, whole grains. That all helps keep your stool soft. Prebiotics like garlic, onions, and bananas feed healthy bacteria. And fermented foods, again, keep your microbiome diverse. And again, we will do a whole episode on the gut, but you want a diverse range of gut bacteria in your gut, not just one kind. This is why certain probiotic strains don't work for some people. And you might need to even switch up probiotic strains instead of sticking to the same one. Again, don't need probiotics. They can help, but you can get it all from your food. Okay? But again, if you are on probiotics, it's good to switch them up to give your body various different kinds of good gut bacteria. Okay, about 70% of your immune system is actually located in your gut, according to a study from Cell in 2019. So if your gut's out of whack, there's a good chance you're probably getting sick more often than somebody whose gut is not out of whack. Okay, now we're at the final stage, guys, the elimination. We all know what I mean when I say that. Don't make me say it. Yes, we're going there, but in a classy, science-y way, okay? What's left of everything at this stage is water, fiber, bacteria, and waste. This collects in your rectum and until you're ready to eliminate. Fiber and water are your MVPs here. So you need to aim for at least 25 to 30 grams of fiber daily. Drink a lot of water, especially high quality water like hydrogen water, reverse osmosis, and then also eat a range of magnesium rich foods. Okay, so that's spinach, pumpkin seeds. By the way, magnesium also helps you sleep great. If you have trouble sleeping, you might want to eat some more magnesium. And this all relaxes your intestinal muscles and just eases the movement of everything. All these foods I've named today will help to optimize your digestion. Okay, and there you have it, guys, the incredible journey from bite to bye-bye. We saw how enzymes chop, acids bubble, villi grab nutrients, and bacteria keeps things balanced. And along the way, you learned what foods keep every stop on the digestive tract running smoothly. Key takeaway, digestion isn't just what you eat. It's how your body transforms your food into you. So next week, we're actually going to leave the gut and we're going to head upstairs into the world of hormones and neurotransmitters. We'll talk about how your body's chemical messengers shape your mood, your energy, and your cravings. So stay tuned, guys. I would really appreciate a like and a subscribe, a review on my podcast, as I am a new podcast. So until then, guys, always keep upgrading. Cheers.